This past weekend, we had the opportunity, 10 couples, my wife and Arlene helped out with the food, to have a couples retreat out at Camp Wadi. And we studied the Word of God about marriage. And I've been thinking about this for quite some time and dealing with marriage. And marriage is something that is much greater than what we really think it to be. Because the Word describes marriage, and especially within the New Testament, is the representation of Jesus Christ and His church, His bride, the church. And I've been thinking and praying about this for some time. And to be perfectly honest, I was nervous to give this message. And I was nervous to even broach this subject because some of you have been married longer than I've been alive. Some of you have suffered within marriages. And there's been divorce. There's been things that weren't in God's plan. All because of sin. And that's even more of a reason that we would understand that those things are forgivable, but that we as the church would understand what marriage truly represents. That we would understand that God wants us to have vital, thriving, and wonderful relationships with our spouses. This is a positive message. And I know sometimes people can think, well, he's going to talk about it. He's going to beat up on us who've messed this thing up. No, I'm not. That's not the point of this whole thing. My parents were divorced. I know the negative side. I know the rejection that they faced at one time. And I'm not asking that we would ever do that. But rather we would look at the positive side of marriage. Look at it as the sacrifice of Jesus Christ Himself for His bride, the church. Because that truly demonstrates the love of God for each and every one of us. And because of this, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text comes out of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 20 through 33. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the Word. Reading in Jesus' name. Give thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. And this is a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so to love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Amen. Please be seated. And I know you come through all this and you hear all these texts and we hear them at marriages and in weddings. And I've used them in that sense a lot of times. But the important thing that we have to understand about what this says comes at the end. It comes in the statement, "For this is a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church." Marriage has suffered great blows within our country. It's being redefined. It's being belittled. It's being put down. It's been taken lightly. And I'm not here to fight a culture war. And neither should we as individuals be here. Because it is not the government or a particular religion or anything else that defines what marriage is. God does. God is the one who says what a marriage is. We have no worry, need to worry. It's not going to change because the government changes the definition. God's bigger than the government. But we need to know what marriage is so that we, as individuals in the church, as couples in the church, can show what marriage really is, which is a representation here on earth of Christ and His church, the perfect union. And that's why it is so important that we get these things right. And now, as we look at the words of Paul here, we look at them in the right context and in the right state of mind. And we start out with this, with a line that we most of the time don't hear when this is used. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Usually we lop that off. See, wives must submit to their husbands. But Paul is addressing the whole body of the church that we are all to submit to one another. And then he's going to go on and he's going to give the individual relationship, this relationship that is supposed to represent God's love for His church through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the church's love for God through Jesus Christ. That's how important the relationship of marriage is. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. Now, many times I've had people in my office getting ready for marriage and going, "No, I don't want to hear none of that submitting part. I don't want to deal with that. I'm not the one who says it. It is not me who puts those words in there. That's God that preserved those words." Now that doesn't mean that a wife should grovel and that a husband should lord that authority over her. Absolutely not. Now it's very interesting because you only get a couple shots of this and we get the address to the husbands. Because he goes on to explain, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, His body, and is Himself its Savior." Now it's very interesting because now you put that in context, that now you have someone who is willing to die for you. Willing to take on all the ugliness within your life and put it on Himself. That's how the head in a marriage should be. "Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." Now we kind of think, in a human sense, that this is the most difficult part. Because nobody wants to submit to anybody anymore. I've got my rights! Submitting in this way is easy. if husbands follow through and do and treat and love the way we are called. Because here's what it says, and this is addressed to us guys. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who should have had everything and deserved it, humbled himself and became in the very nature a servant. A servant to the point that he would go to his death to save us. Now you want to know who's got the hard job? Men. We have the hard job. We are to give up. We are to self-sacrifice. For our wives. This is the hard part. It's much easier to just go, okay, I'll do what you want. Even though that's hard. Now we are now accountable to treat our wives with as much love and respect as Christ treated us. This is our responsibility. And we talk about love all the time. Oh, I love you. But love is not words. Love is action. Love is doing. Love is patient. It's kind. It doesn't boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, it hopes all things, and endures all things. When the dinner isn't on, do we get upset? When things don't go as planned, are we impatient? Now these are all human traits. We all fall short. But the point is, love is not something that is a feeling. Love is an active decision on our part to serve someone. To take care of, to bless, to cherish, to nurture. And for most of us as men, that goes against our every being. We'd much rather run around like little dictators and tell people what we're going to do or what they should do. But that's not who we're called to be, men. We're called to be husbands who represent Jesus Christ. Jesus does this so that he could make his bride perfect, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water and by the word. Now he's getting back into baptism and the washing of our sins away. But we too now look to perfect our wives, to lift them up, to carry them, to make them better. Not for us, but for the world to see. So that he might present the church himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. There's a unique thing here in marriage that happens in no other institution in the world. There's a joining together of flesh. And that's what is what is said in verse 24 of Genesis chapter 2. He says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, or cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now it's a very interesting thing that Christ, or that God, would use marriage and then the church and Christ as an example of each other. Because what we fail to realize many times is that we now are joined to Jesus Christ. We now have that intimate relationship with Him. And when we get marriage wrong, it messes up our whole image of God. When we get marriage wrong, it messes up our definition of father. We don't need to have a culture war. We need to have an individual war. We need to change people's lives and hearts, one person at a time, one marriage at a time, one family at a time. We can't change people's attitudes by changing laws. We change people by bringing them the Word and being the proper representation of who Christ is in our marriage and who the church is in our marriage. That we would have vital and strong, thriving, wonderful relationships with each other. That's what God has called us to do. And that's why this relationship, and as I said, I've prayed about this for a long time because I didn't know how to do it. But I finally came to the realization I do have the right and the authority to do it because I know what the Word says. And it's not by my power that I bring these things in. It's not by my thought. This is what God has instructed us to be and who He's instructed us to be. As individuals within that union, that we would show to the outside world what good, loving marriages we have. Not so that we would be lifted up, but so people would come to understand who Jesus Christ is and who the church is. We want, a lot of times, want to fix our marriages for us. And that's not a bad idea. When we're in a miserable situation, it's good to get things cleaned up and to talk and to get those things cleaned out and to forgive, ask for forgiveness and forgive one another to move on so that we could have a more vital relationship with our spouse. But that's not the best reason for it. The best reason for it is that we now would represent to our children or our grandchildren, and to our friends, and to our neighbors, exactly who God is, and exactly what it means when we say that we are the bride of Christ as the church. That we now have an intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That there's nothing closer. That we now cling to Jesus Christ. If we love our wives and we take care of them, it shows us that we love ourselves. Think about that. By caring for, serving, and loving your spouse, you show that you love yourself. Because verse 29 says, for no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Men, the responsibility for the most part is in our court. At the end of this whole love section in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. This is right after the love and all those things that come after love. What Paul is basically saying is, I manned up. I quit being a selfish child. And now we love. Now we nourish, we cherish, and we take care of our spouse. Because we are members of His body. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Again, we get down to this representation of what marriage is. It is two people who are joined, body, soul, that are together, that thrive and strive together, that submit and serve one another. Is there a headship? Yes. But as one of the footnotes in my Bible on this section talks about, and I think it's very, very good. It says, if the man is the head of the household, the woman is the heart. Both, different functions. But you can't live without the other. If we take my head off, the body dies. If we pull my heart out, the body dies. It's simple biology. We need each other. And we in the church have to get this thing right. There's all kinds of attacks within our marriages. There's sin on both sides. There's all kinds of external forces at work, pushing and pulling us in different directions. We have to get the basics right, which is that we come together. We ask for forgiveness and we forgive. And if we need more tools to move on, we go get those tools. Because the mystery is, our marriages represent Jesus Christ and the church. It's that building block that God has decided to build the relationship on. It's that representation. It's something that we all need to start to get and get right. Is there forgiveness when we mess this up? Absolutely. If I didn't believe this, I couldn't stand here. God sent His Son to die for all sin. That anyone who believes, even in the midst of being messed up, is forgiven. But now that we know we're forgiven, now that we understand this love of God that's been passed to us, don't we want to make that representation to the world and especially to our children and grandchildren? That this is what it's supposed to be like. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself. And let's see that she respects her husband. For too long, we think of marriage as something selfish for us, for me. We get married so that we'll feel better, we'll have somebody there that loves me. Marriage is not for that. Marriage is that we would serve one another, that we would submit to one another. It's not 50-50. When we get into marriage, we give everything. There's nothing that's not on the table. We give up ourselves, our identity, to become a new identity, one joined to our wife. Guys, you're probably sitting there thinking, man, he's being hard on us. Yes, I am. Because, man, it's us. We are the ones that need to step up in leadership within our households, within our church, within our communities. It's us. Because for too long, we haven't been men. We've been too worried about our own selfish little things, the stuff we want to do, what it's going to do, what's it do for me. And the best place to start is right at home, with loving our wives, caring for them, nourishing them, cherishing them. It's time for us to be men. Ladies, respect and love your husbands. Be their biggest cheerleader and help them to be the men that they're supposed to be. In Jesus' name, amen.